God just does miraculous things. We raised our expectations. We believed that God could do the impossible. What happened to our hearts? Hope increased. He goes, you remember how I was faithful then? Will you trust me now? Remember how I was faithful then? Will you trust me now? Everybody needs hope. Like, even if you feel like I have hope, you still need more hope. Why? Because you live in a world that's designed to drain your hope. Everything around you is draining hope. Things might make you happy for a little bit, but when you start trusting in those things that make you happy for a little bit, they start draining hope. Everything. This entire world's designed that way. So Jesus knew this. So Jesus is going, this is what his whole mission is. His whole mission is to fill you with hope. I love the scripture that is kind of the theme scripture of this entire series out of Romans. God, the source of hope. That's why I call this series Hope, the Power of Everything. It's the power of everything because God is the source of hope. And since we live in a world that's designed to deplete you of hope, that means that there's moments that we have ups and we have downs. There's highs and then there are lows. It's like this. How many of you guys would love just to get a new car tomorrow? Raise your hand. Come on. I think this is, hey, if you don't raise your hand, you'll never get it. How many of you guys would love to get a new car tomorrow? Because if you're there like, I don't want it. What if it was free? All right, now you'd raise your hand. All right, but nobody wants the bill that comes with it. I get that. Okay, but here's the highs and the lows. You go out and you get a, I'm not talking about a 2024 model. Some of you can afford the 2024 model. Some of you need the 1994 model. All right? Come on, somebody. All right? Come on, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's be real. So you get your new car that's new to you. Which, by the way, as I am on this point, before I continue on to what I'm really trying to say, let's continue with the random thoughts that are in my mind. How many of you guys like new car smell? You find me the person that can actually make the air freshener that says new car smell, that actually smells like new car smell, and that person's going to be a billionaire. I don't know where that thing is at, but that's a lot of false advertising. I've bought those things before. It's never smelled like day one. I don't know what the deal is with that. But the high is this. You get the new car tomorrow, and then you're testing out its new wheels or its new horsepower or whatever language you speak, and then the next day, you got a ticket. Now, this is not my story. This might be your story or my wife's story, but it's not my story. Okay? It's not my story. Highs and lows, right? And this, the world is full of these highs and lows. One day your sports team wins, the next day your sports team loses. Now, this is personally mine. One day you could eat all the ice cream you wanted to, and your pants always fit the same. Come on, somebody. Remember those days? Remember the days where you go to Sonic and get the shake in the afternoon and still go back and get another one at night and you were still good? And that was the high. Now you got lactose. Or maybe that's just my story. You invested in stocks and the stocks are up and then you lost it all the next day. That's my story. You scheduled a vacation. Right? It's beautiful. It's amazing. You've been planning on it for months. You get to the airport and they've canceled your flight. It's the highs and the lows of life. And we live in this. And when everything's going good, it seems like people are up. And when everything's going bad, it's like people are down. And we ride hope like it is some kind of a roller coaster. We are the human yo-yo. That's what we are. We're like the human yo-yo. You guys remember the first time you did a yo-yo? You remember that? You took the yo-yo and you were like, oh, that looks easy. And you just went, whoosh-ah, right? And it went down and it just spun there and it never came back up. You remember that? And you were like, how do I do this? And then you're jerking on it. And then you wind it back up and you're like, whoosh-ah, right? I don't know why that fsha sound. I don't know. I'm not really sure. It's just a sound stuck in my mind right now. Right? When you whip that thing down there and it dispens, some of you feel like that. Some of you feel like that's the picture of my life, Jeff. Like right now, I feel like I once was in God's hand. I feel like I was once right where he wants me to be. But then there was like something happened in life And I know that life's never just going to be always on the mountaintop, but it's as if I got flung down and my life's just spinning down here. And I'm waiting for it to like pop back up, but it's not popping back up. And life is like that sometimes, but we don't have to be the roller coaster on the roller coaster ride of hope. Like, I got hope, I lost hope. I have hope, I lost hope. No, when you're anchored in Christ, there's something about being anchored in Christ that He has the ability to protect and provide hope. But just because you're anchored in Christ doesn't mean that all the days go good. One of the things about New Life Church is that we attract a lot of people that are, I'm just going to say it, like pre-followers of Jesus. You have yet to really say, Jesus is my Lord and He's my leader and I'm going to follow Him. And I love that. So if you're hearing my voice right now and you would say, that's me, Jeff, I want you to know you're not alone today. There is a big group of you that are here at New Life trying to discern, like, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What is my next step in this process of following Him? And I love that. I just want you to know this. I'm your pastor. I love you. I want you to know. Look at me, right? If you're at another campus, just look at me. Right? Here's the deal. Like, if you surrender your life to Jesus today, you need to know this, that tomorrow might be the greatest storm in your life you've ever faced. Why? Well, because you got so much hope. When you follow Jesus, it's like you max out on hope. You give your life to Christ, and you max out on hope. And the enemy doesn't want you to be full of hope. So your greatest storms follow some of your greatest hope moments. Why? Because the enemy's always trying to take you out. So how do you protect hope, and how do you increase hope? Well, I'm going to help you with that. And today I want to talk to you about how do you protect hope, and how do you increase hope. So you ready for this? Today we're going to talk about raising your expectations. To protect your hope and to increase your hope, you have to raise your expectations. Would you just turn to three people really quick, look them in the eye and go, you got to raise your expectations. Come on, just tell them that really fast. Come on. All right. No, you guys are good, man. I hope that happened at all campuses. Here's what Jesus said about it. Jesus said this. This is our theme verse. I'm going to preach out of this verse all day long, all the way till 3 o'clock today. Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them intently and He said, would you read those next words with me? Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. This is Jesus. Here's what Jesus is saying. If you look at things through your human eyes are going to have a certain expectation of an outcome. And if when we look at things through our human eyes, we either think one of two things. A, it's impossible, or B, we put too much pride in ourselves. That tends to be what happens when we look at things through human eyes. Like, there's no way that can happen. Or, oh, I can do that. I can do that. Well, that's not a healthy place to be. Jesus is saying, change your expectations, and instead of it just being on what your human eyes can see, put it on what your spiritual eyes can see. And here's what your spiritual eyes should tell you. Your expectations should change and believe this: everything is possible with God. That's what happens. See, I'm not telling you this as just like a biblical hypothetical. I'm telling you this from my personal experience. When we left the Air Force in Alaska, my family, my wife and I and our four kids, and we went to Valdez, Alaska for full-time ministry, I walked away from a paycheck that showed up faithfully on the 1st and the 15th, all of the medical care I needed, and some of you guys know this story, so bear with me. And then I went to Valdez to a church that literally told me, Jeff, we would love to have you come be our youth pastor, but we can't pay you anything, zero. That was a stretch. And I got one thing to say about those people in Valdez. They were people of integrity, because at the end of a year, they had not paid me anything. When they said it, they followed through on it. They were amazing. I really do love those people. But they told me, look, we can't, but we will facilitate the ministry if you feel like God's called you to this. I go, yeah, I do. And so we went there and we served, and God worked miracles. Guys, I mean, people showed up and gave us money when we needed it. You know, my car lasted through that period of time. All of my kids had everything that they needed. People sent money to us. It's amazing that we were there for 1 year. I would stay there still to this day if God would have, if that's what God wanted. But God was doing something bigger in my life than just me being in Valdez. God was trying to show me that, look, Jeff, I'll be faithful, that in human eyes it seems impossible. How do you take a family of six, move them to a place, and they tell you they can pay you nothing, but at the end of the year you got $12,000 in your savings account? That's how God works, okay? I'm not saying that that's what God's going to do to you. I'm just saying that's how God works. That from a human perspective, my supervisors in the Air Force were telling me, you're an idiot, you're a fool. Right, it's like borderline abuse to your family to do this, but from God's perspective, God worked crazy things out, right? Because God is the God of the impossible. So we raised our expectations, we put our faith in Him, and as God provided, guess what happened to our hope? Hope kept increasing. And guys, you know how many times now God cashes in on that? He cashes it in with me all the time. Jeff, you remember how I was faithful in Valdez? Yeah. Now trust me here. Remember how I provided for your family there? Trust me in this way with the church. You remember how you stepped out in faith here and I worked? Step out in faith here and I'll work. Like, guys, God just keeps coming back and He keeps cashing in on those things of my life. And so I want to help you. I want to help you today raise your expectations so that you can see an increased amount of hope in your life. Anybody want to do that with me? Okay, well, I'm going to talk to you a few ways that can happen, right? The very first way is this. You got to believe that impossible things are possible. That's the very first thing you got to do. Believe impossible things are possible. That's where you got to start. Have you ever heard anybody say, like, that person got what they deserved? You ever heard that before? I would say to you the better statement instead of that, because that sounds kind of, you know, harsh. The better statement is this: they got what they expected. Isn't it amazing that when you go through life and you feel like today's going to be a good day, that today ends up being a good day? Isn't it amazing that when you think that that meeting's going to be the worst, it always is the worst? Isn't it amazing that whatever you set your expectation to tends to be what the outcome is? Why? Because you've predetermined it in your heart. And what I'm saying to you today is that you got to start believing, start setting your expectations that impossible things can actually happen. This is very clear from Jesus. Mark chapter 2. For the sake of time, I can't go there. You write it down in your notes, go read it later. Mark chapter 2, there's a story, an encounter that happens there. And let me break it down. There's a group of people, a house, Jesus is teaching in it. There's four buddies and a friend who can't walk. That's the gist. Here's the deal. Four friends had incredible faith. They raised their expectations. They believed that if they could get their friend who couldn't walk to Jesus, that Jesus could heal him. So these guys have raised their expectations, right, high. And man, their faith level is high. They've got a lot of hope. So they pick up their buddy on a mat, and they walk him to Jesus, only to find out that there's a lot of other people that have raised their expectations in what Jesus can do as well, and the house is full. So then they get a crazy idea. Let's get our buddy up on the roof, because we can't get into the house. And our expectation is that if we can get our friend to Jesus, he can heal him. And so they get up on the roof. They probably pull back the thatch, maybe some light boards or whatever like that. Can you imagine the distraction that's going on while Jesus is trying to preach? I would equate it to a baby crying in the middle of your sermon. It's distracting. It happens, but it's distracting. So here's the roof. It opens up. All this stuff's falling down. And then they lower their friend down to Jesus, right? And then Jesus goes, wow, what incredible faith these guys have. And Jesus touches the man and heals him, and the man gets up and he walks again. Now, what happened because four friends had raised expectations on believing that it seems impossible, but we believe that if we can get him to Jesus, we can get him to God, he can walk again. What happened? Hope increased, not just for their buddy that couldn't walk, and not just for them, but don't you agree? Hope increased for everybody that watched the miracle go down. Isn't that true? So watch this. The four friends, they believed that it seems impossible with human eyes, but with God, all things are possible. And so they bring their friend to Jesus. The four did not, they were not the ones that created the miracle, but their expectations led them to a miracle. See, I want you to know today that when you increase your expectation of what is possible with God, what ends up happening is that God leads you to incredible miracles. And I don't know about you, but I could use a few more miracles in my life. Anybody else can use a few more God-sized miracles? Okay, well then we gotta raise our expectations by believing that the impossible is possible because we serve the God who makes that happen. Amen? Here's another thought to consider. You gotta believe that God has better days ahead for you. A lot of people struggle with that. But here at New Life Church, one of our doctrines is called blessed hope. Just say that with me. Blessed hope. Now, what's that doctrine stand for? It's a phrase, blessed hope, and it's all about a doctrine believing that Jesus is coming back for his church. He's going to rapture his church, his believers, to be with him forever in heaven. Here's why it's called blessed hope. Because we believe that tomorrow can be better than today. It's a blessed hope to believe that tomorrow can be better than today. Are you with me on that? All right. So faith that tomorrow can be better is what increases your hope. But when there's no faith in the future, then there's no power to even be in the present. Like if there's no faith that tomorrow can be better, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no power that can be present today. Like, if you don't believe tomorrow can be better, how can you even believe that today can get better? So today might be hard and difficult, but I'm going to tell you guys, tomorrow can be better. This season might be difficult. It might be challenging. It might be one of the most hellish moments you're walking through, but tomorrow can be better. How do I know this? Go back to Scripture with me. Jesus is crucified. What happens 3 days later? What happens? Yeah, here's another way to say it. Jesus died. That was a horrific day. But 3 days later, everything got better. Tomorrow can be better, my friends, because Jesus showed us that it might seem horrible now, but I got a plan. And so, guys, we have to raise our expectations to believe that God's got better plans for us. He has a dream and a hope for our lives to prosper us, not to harm us. Right? But to lead us to where he wants us to be. And if we're walking where God wants us to be, that means that tomorrow can be better. All right. Okay, here's another one. You want to raise your expectations, that increases your hope, then you got to change your perspective. Change your perspective. Look, let me give you this little story to help you understand what I mean by change your perspective. Let's just say a college girl, 20 years old, okay? She writes a letter to her parents, and here's what it says. Dear Mom and Dad, I know this is going to disappoint you, but I'm dropping out of school. I met a guy who's 20 years old or 10 years older than me, and we're going to get married on Friday. And by the way, I'm pregnant, and we're going to move far away. I'll contact you sometime in the future. Sorry, your daughter. Now look, I've raised 4 children to adulthood. 3 of them are girls. If I got this letter, I'd be devastated, right? And you can almost feel the devastation in the heart of a parent until they flipped it over and they realized, oh, she wrote more. Great. That's exactly what I want to hear. But it says this, P.S. Just kidding, but I did flunk one class and I need $200. Just keep this in perspective. It's like the tension of, holy cow, this is heavy, to, I'm going to kill her the next time I see her. Right? When I get my hands on you. But it's all about perspective. And this little funny little story helps us to see that when we look at life from another perspective, life looks different. Hope gets depleted when all you're looking at is the challenges and the pitfalls and the difficult moments. Hope increases when you look at what you have and you're thankful for what you have. I think it's helpful at times when you're going through challenging moments to get your eyes off of the challenge just to think for a moment. Think for a moment. Like someone else does actually have it worse than me right now. Now, I don't want that for them, but in this world of 8 billion plus people, someone else is going to have it different and they're going to have it more difficult. And that means you can change your perspective. Change your perspective by serving people. You want to change your perspective? Get out there and serve people. Go serve someone that has less than you. Go serve someone who's homeless. Go serve someone who is forgotten. Go serve someone who has been neglected. Go serve. Like, one of the ways you can do that the best, go on a foreign go trip. In my heart, here's what I want. I want this for every single person in our church, at all campuses. I want you to go with us on a foreign go trip. I want you to sign up and I want you to go. There's one that's getting ready to go in May. It's already full to El Salvador. There's another one getting ready to go in October to France, and there'll be more in 2025. But sign up and go. Why? Because when you go, it's amazing how God changes your perspective. You thought your life was difficult until you actually see difficult. You thought you were lacking until you actually see people that are lacking. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's something about it. You've got to get out of your little bubble, and you got to get out, and you got to serve. Because here's what the deal is. For most of us are waiting for our circumstances to change, when really what we need is we just need a perspective change. Where do you see this in the Bible? You see a great picture of this in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man who discovered that his home city called Jerusalem had been destroyed. Basically, all the walls had been destroyed. The gates had been burnt. That means that their identity was gone. Like, it'd be like dropping a nuclear bomb on my hometown of St. Louis. And he's thinking about all of his memories, and he's thinking about all the stories and his ancestors who are buried there. And now he's going, like, we lost our identity. Like, we don't have anything. And he's mourning this. But notice this. In his mourning of his loss, he's not going to depression. In the mourning of his loss, he's going to God. And he's going, God, what can be done about this? Nehemiah was not a man of resource. Nehemiah was not a man of necessarily great influence. Nehemiah was not a man who knew how to build necessarily. Nehemiah was just a cupbearer for a king in an exiled country. But he showed up one day to drink the wine before the king gets it to see if, like, he's going to die on the spot. That's a great job. And it all works out. And the king notices, Nehemiah, you're normally happy. Why are you sad? The Bible says he prayed for a moment, and then he told the king about the plight of his city called Jerusalem. And then the king asked him, well, what do you need and how much time do you need to go fix it? And after telling him that, the king showed favor on Nehemiah and he gave him everything he needed. Everything he didn't have, he got. Now, here's the point. We're talking about changing your perspective. For 92 years, the walls of Jerusalem had been torn down. The gates had been burnt. For 92 years, the people felt defeated. For 92 years, no one thought the walls could be rebuilt. For 92 years, the people were living without hope. For 92 years, people were thinking to themselves, it's never going to get any better. For 92 years, this is just as good as it is. For 92 years, this is our future. Our future generations will live like this. Like, we've lost our identity, we've lost our integrity, we've lost our ability to defend ourselves, we've lost it. For 92 years, people are living with hopelessness because of a perspective. Nehemiah walks into town and rebuilds the walls and the gates in 52 days. 52 days. See, when you change your perspective, when you choose to not look at it from this angle, but to turn around and go, I'm going to look at it from that angle, in 52 days, there was radical transformation and change. What do you think happened in the hearts of the people of that city? Hope increased. Hope increased. Because one man said, humanly speaking, it seems impossible. He believed in what Jesus said in Matthew. Humanly speaking, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. He just happened to believe it. So, church, that's what you and me are going to have to do. No matter what you're facing, you're going to have to change your perspective from what it looks like to what God can do. What it feels like to what God can do. What others are saying impossible to what God says is possible. Man might say, your marriage is destroyed. There's no use fighting for it, but God says, I can change it. Men might say, your finances are horrible. There's no way to get out of this. But God goes, I got an answer. Man might say, this is the medical diagnosis. And there's no hope. And God goes, but there's hope in me. So you got to change your perspective. You got to change it. Life might be lived in the valley, but one day God says, you live life here on this earth in the valley, and one day I put you on a mountaintop when you're with me in heaven. Jesus even said it one day. Look, you give up homes, property, finances. You give up a spouse. You give up children. You give up your country for me. And when you are with me in heaven, I will pay you back multiple times over, of which you can't even fathom. This life might be hard, but one day, church, coming is a perspective change. Something's happening in the future. Jesus is in control. Today might seem bleak, but tomorrow can seem amazing. Perspective change. Let me give you another one. If you want to, you know, raise your expectations so that you can see more hope fill your heart, you got to replace fear with faith. Replace fear with faith. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I think, is the perfect spot. The Philistines are facing Goliath, and they are so filled with fear. David shows up, and he crushes fear with faith. And he looks at the giant, and he's like, I can take you out with a sling and a stone. See, the armies of the Israelites, they looked at Goliath, and they were like, he's too big to beat. And fear crippled their heart. And David looked at Goliath, and he goes, he's too big to miss. Because he crushed fear with faith. He was like, that big melon head? I can hit that melon head from here. Wait till I get up next to him. He's got a head like a semi-truck tire. And they didn't even have those then. See, David lived by the principle we find in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power, love, and self-discipline. This is what David knew. David knew God was with him. He knew he was for him, right? So therefore, hope increased, and he stepped out, and he took on Goliath, and he beats Goliath. What happens to the people when David beats Goliath? Take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. It says that when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, what did they do? They turned and they ran. Why did they turn and run? They turned and they ran because they put their hope in man. Church, listen to me carefully. If you put your hope in man, man will always let you down. And then you'll find yourself turning and running. But the Israelites, they were trying to put their hope in God, but fear had crippled them, and they had depleted hope. But David shows up and crushed their fear and gave them faith. And what happens for them? It says, then the men of Israel and Judah gave a great shout of triumph, and they rushed after the Philistines. Fear gets replaced with faith when you step out into the valleys that are difficult. Sometimes you've got to step into the junk. Sometimes you've got to step into the difficult parts of life. Sometimes you've got to face the giants and just trust, God, you are with me. Sometimes you've got to face your fear, and you've got to step into that valley with that giant and go, God, you're bigger than this giant. Sometimes you've got to take a big, bold step of trusting in God if you ever want to see fear crush and faith increase. And when you do that, like, here's what you're doing. You're raising your expectations to God, and you're saying, God, humanly speaking, I can't defeat that giant, but you can, so I'm stepping into the valley with the giant, and I'm trusting God that you're going to be the one that creates the outcome. And man's going to call you a fool. And man's going to tell you that it's impossible. And man's going to tell you, don't step into that valley. Man's going to tell you, don't take on that challenge. Man's going to say it's too big for you. Man's going to say it's a pipe dream. Man's going to say you're only going to get hurt and you're only going to get crushed. But if God's the one who's calling you to take on the giant, then with bold faith, you step into the valley and you go, I'll take on the giant because I've raised my expectations that I can't do it, but you can. And guys, I'm telling you, when the giants fall, what happens to your heart? Hope increases. It has to. It has nowhere else to go but up. Okay, one last thing, because I'm out of time. I shared too many random thoughts out of my mind. Let's raise our expectations so we can see hope increase by replacing what if with why not. Drop the what ifs. What if I trust God here? But what if he doesn't come through? What if I look like a fool? What if he lets me down? I'm going to tell you right now, God, number one, is not going to let you down. God's not interested in making you look like a fool. Following Jesus might come across as foolishness to the world, but God's not the one that's setting you up to look like the fool. Your belief and your idea of following Jesus is going to go anti-culture. That's going to create some problems. But know this, God wasn't the one trying to make you look like a fool. So exchange the what ifs with why not? Why not now? Why not me? Why not this? Why not trust in God? Like, I'm going to step out. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you do that, you put yourself in a place where faith can increase, hope can increase. So to live with hope, you can't always look at what you have. If you're just looking at what you have, then you're going to be the person that says, well, what if? But if you want to become the person that says, well, why not now? Then you have to remember what God has. See, humanly speaking, you don't have enough. But spiritually speaking, with the God of the impossible, just remember what he has. He's the God who speaks and gas comes together and forms a star and that ignites a universe. That's the God we're talking about. Humanly speaking, that's impossible. We don't have enough nuclear weapons to pull that off. Humanly speaking, I can't take dust and put it into my hand and spit into it or drop a couple of tears into it and form it into a human being. But with God, he can do it. In and of myself, I don't have enough to lead well, but God knows how to do it. In and of myself, I may not have what it takes to fix that relationship, but God knows how. Right now, those giants might seem too big, but God knows exactly where to place that stone so that the giant falls. So what do you need today? Do you need to trust in the God of the impossible? Again, maybe that's what you need to do to raise your expectation and trust in the God of the impossible. Maybe you need to raise your expectation and trust that tomorrow can be better than today. Maybe you need to raise your expectation and start trusting that, God, I need you to change my perspective on this thing. Maybe you need to raise your expectation and exchange fear with faith. But I'm telling you right now, if you'll lean in and you'll raise your expectation in those areas, here's what will happen. Hope will increase, which is exactly what you need to face tomorrow. Amen? So guys, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And if you agree with me on that at all campuses, why don't you stand as we get ready to worship our living God? Come on, come on. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is true. We thank you, God, that you never let us down. We thank you that when we step into the valleys, you always come through. We're thankful, God, that when we face the giants, you cause giants to fall in front of us. Lord, we're thankful, God, that you've never lost a battle. We're thankful that throughout the generations, Lord, as we look back throughout your word, you've been faithful to all of our fathers of the past, and you'll be faithful to us today. Lord, we're thankful that we can truly believe that tomorrow can be better than today, even though we read the paper and we see what's on the news. Lord, we believe that tomorrow can be better because you're still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're still the God on the throne. And so, God, we choose today to raise our expectations and to set our eyes on you, the God who works miracles, the God of the impossible. And we lift our voice and we worship you. Humanly speaking, no way, can't happen. But God, when we change our expectations and we look at what you can do, all things are possible. And everybody that agrees with me on that says, amen.